Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. First podcast of the week, but hey, it's Tuesday, so welcome to Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you want to call into the podcast, talk to us. 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so you can look for a new one of those tomorrow morning while you're over there, but pop by there, see what's going on anyways. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we'd greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man the Tree.
All right, and as always, we start out with my wonderful FanDuel lineup. I did not win anything over the weekend, but I am still plodding away. I just can't figure out how to score 200 points like you need to win. So hopefully tonight is the night, and I will manage to do that. So I am going with Michael Wacha of the Cardinals tonight. There's a couple big money pitchers, but I like Wacha's matchup against the Cardinals. He only cost me $6,900, and then, you know, obviously I was able to take that money and roll it over into what I hope are some better hitters tonight. I've still been struggling with hitting, man. I could have the best matchup in the world and the guy go 0 for 4. But anyways, here's the hitters I jinxed tonight, so I want to apologize to their fans of these players or teams in advance. Catcher, I'm going with Buster Posey for $2,900. I was actually quite shocked by this price tag because he's in Colorado. He's hitting third for the Giants tonight, so I thought that was fantastic value in a place like that. First base, I'm going with Edwin Encarnacion and his 27-game on-base streak tonight. He's going to cost me $4,200. He's hitting cleanup for the Indians tonight. Second base, I'm going with Eric Sogard of the Brewers. He's only at $2,500, and he's leading off for Milwaukee tonight. So I'm going to go that route. Third base, I've got Josh Donaldson of the Blue Jays for $3,800. And he's hitting second for the Blue Jays tonight. At shortstop, I've got Francisco Lindor, so my second Indian, also my second most expensive player. That's just how the Indians work because they've won 12 games in a row. He cost me $4,100, and he's leading off for the Indians tonight. Outfield, I'm starting off with Chris Davis of the Oakland A's for $3,800. He's hitting cleanup tonight. Davis is one of those guys I just haven't had much luck with, but I'm going to give it another shot here. Next, I got Kevin Kiermaier of the Tampa Bay Rays for $3,400. He's leading off for Tampa tonight. And then my lineup wraps up with Ian Desmond of the Colorado Rockies at $3,300. He's hitting seventh for them. Again, I thought that was pretty good value for a guy playing his game in Colorado. Normally those prices are exuberant, but anyways, here's the recap. Michael Wacha pitching, Buster Posey at catcher, Edwin Encarnacion at first, Eric Sogard at second, Josh Donaldson at third, Francisco Lindor at short, and the outfield is Chris Davis, Kevin Kiermaier, and Ian Desmond. Did you rack up your free roll tonight?
Yeah, so expect 2-0. You get where I'm going with that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so I went with Robert Stevenson.
It means you picked two of my players.
Yeah. So I went with Stevenson. Steven at 6,700. Buster Posey. Like you said.
Oh, poor Buster.
Yeah. So, and then I did a little bit of stacking tonight with Joey Votto at first for 44. Batting third, Scooter Jeanette cleaning up at fifth. And then went over to Washington and Anthony Rendon leading off for the Mets with Jose Reyes. I took Steven Souza Jr. for 3,600, Aaron Judge, and and then Kevin Kiermaier.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, there's my 2-0, so at least I know where they are. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Oh, and you forgot to mention yesterday, you needed about 400 points to win yesterday because it seemed like everyone had J.D. Martinez.
Yeah, if I'm willing to bet if you didn't have J.D. Martinez in your lineup, you probably didn't win. So, yeah, that's just how it goes. And I do have to apologize to everybody. I know on Friday I mentioned Mr. Fantasy and I would be here Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. As it turned out, he was not allowed to do the podcast on Sunday because we had three drafts through the weekend. You know, Friday night we had our Snake League draft. Saturday night we had our Auction League draft. Dan was in on both of those. And then on Monday, him and I had our Money League draft. So, yeah, he was not allowed to spend 2 hours with you on Sunday. Apparently, I guess that ate up too much of his time, and he doesn't feel you're worth it. So I do apologize. But Dan and I should be here all week, hopefully. And maybe if he's allowed, he will be able to do the Sunday podcast next week. So you'll just have to tune in and see. But I do apologize for that. I fully expected him to be here and us to be able to recap how the drafts went. So, but anyway, since Dan and I are here, we can kind of discuss that. I got to tell you, Dan, I was really happy with the speed of the Snake League draft. I don't know if maybe that was because we didn't have as many people drafting live or maybe people were coherent for a change, but I thought it moved along pretty well.
It was only a couple hours, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a little over, I believe it was a little over 2 hours, which isn't bad at all considering, you know, it's 20 teams and, you know, all that fun stuff. I mean, obviously the Auction League is a whole different animal. I mean, that was 4+ hours. I believe you and I finished well ahead of Mr. Fantasy. He ended up on for much longer, but that's how the auction leagues go. So it's just kind of natural. I know we did one of the fun parts about drafting is you get grades from Yahoo on your, you know, like the Snake League. They don't grade the Auction League, but on your Snake League draft. And I got a B+, I believe. Did you get an A?
Yep, and Mr. Fantasy got an A+.
Ah, so yeah, and what I've come to learn, I don't know how it will work for you guys, but the better the grade I get on a draft, the worse that team does. So hopefully it's not like that for you guys. Just to add in, Mr. Fantasy and I did actually get a B+. For our draft yesterday. So, but yeah, you know, all in all, I was, you know, I mean, obviously it's early. I was pretty happy with, you know, with the way both of my, you know, my teams turned out. You know, I forgot where the heck I was picking in the money, the Snake League. I think was I fifth or something like that. I know I ended up being the last guy to nominate in the auction league, but that doesn't, you know, doesn't mean a ton, obviously. So, but yeah, did you like your teams the way they turned out, or?
I mean, I think so. Yeah, there was a couple of guys that you guys talked about on Saturday who I drafted who you were guys kind of questioning, so. My internet's bad right now, so I can't pull up either league right now. But, you know, I mean, figure getting an A in the Snake League and just trying to play off of that in the Auction League. But, you know, I wasn't trying to be the smartest guy and save guys to squeeze through so I could be on there for 7 hours.
Yeah, well, you know, what happened to me in the Auction League, and I was quite surprised, I was I was having trouble spending for running backs, you know, and the running backs kept coming up, and I had already had a couple players on my team, and I had spent a little money, and I just didn't kind of have the money to compete with these guys. So, you know, I did pick up what I think are a couple solid guys. I'm going to end up with Eddie Lacy and Derrick Henry as my main guys. So I decided I'm going with the all fat guy backfield. And then I was able to grab Jonathan Stewart, but there's one extra spot in our money league, and I wanted to use it to grab one more running back. And I really thought it was going to be kind of a sleeper guy that other guys would know about. So I saved some extra money, and I passed up on a couple of other extra guys so I would have the money to get this guy when either he came up or I nominated him. I nominated him, and nobody bid. I got him for $1. So I ended up kind of screwing my draft up that way, because I could have spent money other places had I known this guy was just going to go through for $1. But of course, you know, you don't know these things. I mean, you can't predict that kind of stuff. So it was just kind of like, oh, okay, that kind of changes everything. So.
Well, who was that?
The guy I was waiting for was Sharkhandrick West, because, you know, he's going to be the Chiefs' number two running back with, you know, Spencer Ware being out for the year. I know Kareem Hunt is going to be the number one guy, but I thought, well, you know, I need a backup. This guy should get some carries. You know, they like to rotate back, so he's got a chance to possibly put up some numbers. And I was like, I think this would be a good move, so I want to grab this guy. And, yeah, you know, So I like, okay, I'll set this up. I do a really good job of setting it up. And I think I nominated a couple other running backs I didn't want before him to kind of, you know, let everybody spend a little money and fill up a roster spot. And I thought, okay, I've got enough money to win this. I can throw him up there. And yeah, that was it. I was like, you're kidding me. It's like, I did all this trying to be smart about it when I could have just thrown him up anyways and won him. So but yeah, I guess, you know, just kind of how it goes. So, and then I meant to ask you, I'm sure you have seen the email by now. Have you replied to Mr. Fantasy to help him with his issue?
Oh yeah, this morning.
Okay. So, because yeah, I saw that right away.
I don't know how they can't figure out how to download a PDF file, but that's just me.
Yeah, well, you know, he's, I mean, you figure if I could figure it out, they could figure it out, but, you know, that's just, you know, just one of those things. So I was just more impressed by the fact that he was, he was actually going to do it. So,
yeah, but you know, I was able to finally get in and look at my auction league. Okay, that was the one where I landed Mike Lennon.
Oh, did you end up with him in that one? So,
yeah, but I was going after Jameis and Winston. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know you and I both wanted him, Jameis Winston. We had a little bit of a bidding war there. He was one of the other guys I was waiting for. So, and I was just kind of like, oh, it's like, oh, great. It's Dan and I both wanting the same guy here. So, but yeah, you ended up getting him. So, hopefully it will. Hopefully it won't work out for you, and then I won't feel bad because I didn't get him. But yeah, you know, all in all, it's always, you know, I enjoy the drafting process, and then of course, you know, depending on how your year goes, sometimes I enjoy the drafting process more than I enjoy the actual season. So we'll have to have to see how that one goes, but I'm hoping, you know, I have a decent year. I did find it humorous, you know, in our money league, I have to keep track of the players so I know who's been drafted, because Mr. Fantasy and I both can't be on the site at the same time because we're under the same ID. So I'm, you know, always making sure that, you know, I know who's what and who's been taken and all that other fun stuff. And, you know, I can go through the teams and kind of see who does what or who needs water, how it's working out. And the guy whose team I really didn't like got the best draft grade.
Why did they give him that grade?
So you know, they don't, I didn't read his explanation. I was just kind of like, you're kidding me. Wait, this got the best draft grade. So I was like, okay, whatever. But yeah, I'll have to, you know, I'll have to go in and, you know, look and see what they came up with or how they, you know, how they did it. I was just like, really? But you know, I think a lot of it has to do, like, if you just go by their rankings and you pick, you know, the best player on the board when it's your pick and by how it's ranked and, you know, you don't take any flyers or anything like that, you get quality grades. And it's just like, well, okay. So... you know, but obviously, you know, it's their site, so it's their rankings, and, you know, we, you know, Mr. Fantasy tried something different yesterday. We went with kind of a conglomeration of, you know, kind of a conglomeration of what he found on the web through some different sites, and then he found a site, I wish I could remember the name, where you actually plug in the scoring system for your league, and it will kick out a player list for you. So it sounded pretty interesting. I don't know. Again, I apologize for not knowing the damn site name, but I just kind of. Yeah. Forgot it.
So basically, it you know, like the score. Let's just say, for instance, our leagues. So obviously, you set them up, and there's all this scoring. So then you plug in the scoring of your individual league, and it gives you a lineup.
Yeah, yeah. It gives you know. And the funny thing is, like you mentioned, it lineup. You can actually use it that way, and it will tell you what your optimal lineup for the week should be.
Really? And it's free.
Yeah. Yeah.
For now.
So yeah, for now, you know, I'm going to have to ask him what it is. And maybe, you know, you and I can take a look at it, you know, on air or something and see if, you know, what we kind of think about it and that stuff. But it sounded really interesting. And he used it to rate our draft, and we used it to do our draft yesterday. So I'm really kind of interested to see how it works out, or how it, you know, kind of helps us.
What did you think? How did your team that you drafted compare to that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I thought it was pretty good. You know, a lot of the issue with this league is, you know, these guys are, you know, they're, you know, I guess you would rate them as top fantasy players. You know, obviously they're not all elite, but a lot of these guys have been doing it for a really long time. And, you know, they know their stuff. I mean, they're very well prepared, and, you know, it's difficult to get things by these guys. So, you know, it can be a little tougher league to draft. I know, you know, sometimes in ours, you know, since it's free, you know, like we just do it for fun. And if you, you know, if you like a guy, you take a guy you like, you know, even if he's not the best player and you don't think you're going to get him, you know, you can go, oh, okay, that's okay. I like this guy. I'm going to grab him here. No big deal. Kind of thing. But there, yeah, it's a little tad more intense.
Yeah. Well, what I meant was,
so
from the lineup that was spit out to Mr. Fantasy, how did your team compare? You know, were you guys able to land many of those guys, or how did that work out?
Yeah, well, you know, he had the entire list, so we just worked off his list and basically took the best player available. You know, and I mean, humorously, we ended up with Jordan Howard in the first round, you know, which is great because, you know, the Bears are just going to hand off the football. So, but yeah, we kind of searched it out and we stuck to it as much as possible. You know, there were different times when, you know, there was a guy he liked that we kind of went up and got, or, you know, there was a big downgrade in that, in the way they do it for like suspended players. So I suggested that we take Willie Snead. He's suspended for the first three games, but you know, he's on the Saints. He's their number two wide receiver. He's probably going to get a lot of targets because obviously we know the Saints like to throw the ball. So I thought he was a good gamble at one point. You know, we got downgraded for that because he's suspended. And then this year they decided our league is now a keeper league. And the way they have it set up is you get one keeper per year. You can't keep your first or second round draft pick. And whatever you do, like if say you, if wherever you drafted the player at this year, like say you drafted a guy in the eighth round that you wanted to keep, he becomes your sixth round pick in 2018. So it moves up two spots. So we spent our last couple of draft picks looking on guys we might be able to keep next year. You know, just kind of took some shots there to see if maybe we could find some value. You know, hopefully it works out because, you know, it's a, what is it? I think it's a 15 round draft. So if you got a guy in the, you know, the 15th round that you keep, he becomes a 13th round pick. And then if you'd like to keep him another year, he would become an 11th round pick. So if you really hit on one of those late guys, you could have him for a long time before he kind of loses value for you.
I mean, what do you think of that? Because to me, it just doesn't even seem worth it in the end. I mean,
yeah, you know, I'm
one guy.
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, I guess it depends, you know, where you land that guy. You know, because, you know, if you get the right guy, you know, like I think last year, if I remember correctly, you know, Ezekiel Elliott ended up being like a seventh or eighth round draft pick last year. So, you know, imagine being able to claim him as a fifth or sixth round pick, you know, this year, because obviously without the suspension, he's a number one. With the suspension, he's a two or three. So imagine him as a sixth round pick this year, then a fourth round pick next year. You know, you're getting a huge steal as long as he's healthy and out of trouble. So, you know, it just kind of depends on, you know, if you land on the right guy. So yeah, I thought that was a big plus. What I did like this year that they did on this draft is, you know, every league has a draft recap. You know, they'll go through and list how the draft went. Well, this year for CBS, and I don't know if they did this last year, they actually put how much time it took a guy to pick. So, you know, like you can go, you know, like, I didn't hear you. You broke up a little there.
Do you guys have limits of 30 seconds, or is it pretty much as long as you want?
No, they allow you to take as long as you want in this league. You know, they ask that you try to keep it under 2 minutes, but, you know, there's a lot of guys who just can't do that. And then, oddly, the one time we made a pick and Bill forgot to put it in, and the clock ran for like 2 minutes before he realized that he didn't put in our pick. And I was like, hey, you know, Goofy, we're still on the board. He's like, oh, I forgot to put it in. So, but yeah, you know, there's some selections here. You know, there's guys who took, you know, like three minutes to make a pick, 4 minutes to make a pick. There was a time where guys went bad. There's one here, 6 minutes and 55 seconds to make a pick. So, you know, and then in other turns, you know, there's 7 seconds, you know, 12 seconds, you know, stuff like that. There's the quick turnaround. So it's interesting to see. But what I noticed is it's always the same guys who take a long time to pick.
Is it them going through everyone's team or getting up to go to the bathroom or?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a combination of, you know, things. I think it's the, you know, the theory where we use, you know, the smartest guy in the room theory. You know, there's a little of that going on because, you know, they're, even though it's, say, it's just the third round or, you know, even in the second round, there's guys looking for that steal right away. And, you know, they're searching and they're going down the list going, you know, where's this guy or where's that guy? And, you know, it can be a lot of, you know, sabermetric analysis, I guess you want to call it, in these leagues. And, you know, it can really slow you down. In some cases, you know, I believe it happened twice yesterday where a guy lost his internet connection and had to, you know, get reset. So obviously, you know, that is going to slow it down because this is the first year we did it fully online. You know, normally we get together and there's 8 or 10 teams that get together and there's guys who live in other states that obviously can't make it. You know, so they, you know, get in on the internet. But yeah, in reality, it went quicker than I thought it would because honestly, I thought it was going to be about a 6-hour draft. So to wrap it up and about the time we did, I mean, I was actually wondering if we were going to finish because I think last year we didn't finish the baseball draft. So, you know, it can get frightening.
But didn't you say the baseball draft went over like 4 days last year?
Yes. Yeah, we actually got together to draft. Then we couldn't finish. You know, after about, I think it ended up being about 6 hours, we quit, or it might have been 5 hours. Then they had to finish it online, and it took 4 more days to finish online. So it was, they're an interesting group of guys. I was asking Mr. Fantasy how they all ended up getting together in the same league like this, because, you know, this league started, you know, many years ago. So they were actually all getting together to draft at one point where, you know, every team had to be there because, you know, the internet was really just getting started out and, you know, you couldn't just everybody, oh, well, everybody just sign in and we'll do the draft. You know, you couldn't do that kind of thing. So it's a unique group. You know, I know the one thing they all have in common is they're all, I guess we describe it as very well off monetarily wise. So, you know, which is quite humorous because I don't fit into that. You know, I'm not like Mr. Fantasy or your wife or anything like that. You know, I don't make a ton of money. So, you know, that's always the interesting thing. But, you know, at least on the plus side, I didn't get yelled at this draft this year. So, But yeah, all in all. But all right, let's get the heck off of that. I'm dying to know if you saw this one, Dan. There was actually supposed to be an announcement from the commissioner of baseball on this, but apparently, and now this, the article I just pulled up said Commissioner Rob Manfred confirmed this. The Boston Red Sox used an Apple Watch to steal dugout signs from the Yankees and relay them to their players. I guess the way it went down is they had their trainer with, you know, his fancy Apple Watch picking off these signs. I'm interested to know, you know, how you feel about it and if there should be some type of discipline for this.
Well, I mean, how did he use the watch to pick off the sign?
So, yeah, that's, I'm wondering if they,
you know, because it's not like the watch could just, you know, hey, sorry, pick up the sign. I mean, we've got to get a little bit more detail on that to really see if it was a bad thing. Or, I mean, because they could pick off signs all day, all they want, but it's okay as long as they use old school baseball signals.
Yeah. I'm looking to see if they've got an explanation here. Apparently, they started doing it in a series against Toronto. So... yeah, it said the Red Sox admitted video replay personnel were getting signs and that those were relayed to some players. Apparently, this has been going on for about a week. But, yeah, they don't really seem to go into detail on how they were doing it. You know, it's just that... you know, they were using an electronic device.
Well, I mean, if you said video replay is obviously in a booth within the dugout, or, you know, it's obviously where we can't see it. So if the trainer had on his Apple Watch, then somebody in, you know, video replay was using, you know, i.e. their cell phone, their tablet, or if they have a Mac computer doing the replays on, they were just sending, you know, the signs over to the trainer, and then he was able to relay them on to, you know, the coaches or the players. You know, the first thing I was going to ask you was, do they have a outside consultant by the name of Bill Belichick? You know, it is Boston, so. You know, I mean, is it against the rules? I guess that's what it comes down to, is that,
Yeah, here's what they say. Actually, Major League Baseball does not have a policy against sign stealing per se. The issue is the use of an electronic device in the dugout, which is against league rules.
Well, unless it's the...
so.
Already given Apple tablet that they're allowed to use?
Yeah, only if they're a sponsor. So,
well,
and oddly,
the super iPad. I forgot what that's called.
Yeah. Yeah, like the NFL teams have. So,
yeah.
The Red Sox have actually filed a counter complaint. Saying the Yankees use a camera from their net Yes Network to steal signs.
What is their network, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is. So I'm sure Michael Kay relays them that dirty. Oh, so, you know. and this isn't the first time. This isn't the first time stuff like this has happened. I don't know if you remember the Tigers had a guy sitting in center field with binoculars stealing signs from the White Sox one series. I don't remember if it was last year or 2 years ago. And Chris Sale noticed him and actually threw the ball up and in on Victor Martinez because of it. And when they asked him about it, they were like, well, he was stealing the signs. And, you know, and then somebody kind of noticed. I'm like, I don't know how everybody doesn't notice a guy in center field, you know, because he was sitting behind the wall. He wasn't sitting in the stands. So, you know, obviously, you know, somebody should know something was up. But, yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, this is one of those things. I mean, it's been going on since the beginning of, you know, baseball. Again, it was just, it appears it's the use of what they said was actually an Apple Watch seems to be the issue here.
Yeah, like I said, if, you know, if it's the batter on second or the runner on second base stealing the signs and relaying them back to the third base coach or, you know, the dugout, handing him off to the batter, then it's okay. But, you know, I mean, it's a digital world. Eventually, you're either going to have to ban all electronics completely or embrace it. I mean,
yeah,
there's no real way you can, you know, get around it.
No, it's definitely something. I mean, there's no real right or wrong way with this. I mean, this is the way the world is going, obviously. So it's just kind of hit or miss. So, you know, you have to see how they rule, you know, that kind of fun stuff.
Well, and as far as stealing signs goes, you know, kind of going back to the pace of play, you want to limit the trips to the mound. Well, you're going to have to completely make it illegal to steal signs. And if you get caught, you know, maybe they get a loss put in a column and they forfeit a game. And that'll eliminate teams trying to steal signs. You know, because...
Well, I don't know if it will eliminate. They would probably just get better at stealing them.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, one of the biggest reasons catchers come out from behind the plate is so that they can change signs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And if you know that the team is quite possibly, you know, stealing signs, you know, that's why you can't limit the visits to the mound.
Yeah, now did they want to limit all visits or did they just want to limit coaches' visits?
Well, they're starting with the coaches' visits and then eventually it'll be all visits. I don't know if they've gone so far as to limit the catcher's visit, but, you know, because then if you limit the catcher's visit, the catcher can give a sign to, you know, the first baseman and then he can go do one and... so forth and, you know, throughout the infield.
So, yeah, you know, because, you know, obviously, I mean, it's not, you know, teams have signs in place with the catcher to change the signs. You know, a lot of times he just goes out there as, you know, a courtesy gesture or, you know, to be fair with the game being as international as it is, sometimes you literally do just have to go out there and talk to the guy and say, hey, we're switching signs. You know, because there can be a language barrier at times, you know, obviously with, you know, players from all over the world now, you know, being part of Major League Baseball. So.
Well, and, I mean, the game has been going on for 100 years and for at least the last 50, you know, the number one is always your strike ball, or your strike ball, your fastball. Or, you know, essentially.
Yeah, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, what part of his body is he touching? You know, are we going here or there? How are they adjusting it? You know, there's all kinds of, you know, funky little add-ins you can throw out there where, you know, you're going this way or that way or, you know, two taps means this and one tap means this and, you know, they're, you know, different things different teams do. Yeah, it's, you know, a lot of times, I mean, guys will go out to the mound just to actually tell you what to throw. you know, they'll just go out there and be like, look, just, you know, just throw the fastball here, or, you know, just throw the curveball here, you know, however you want to do it, just so they don't have to go through, you know, the idea of having to give all the signs and hopefully your pitcher gets it and, you know, that kind of stuff. I just thought it was kind of funny when they said Apple Watch. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's breaking the rules. I would say spending, you know, kind of just trying to do what you can to get away with it. What I find interesting, though, is, you know, how did the Yankees find that out?
Yeah, you know, apparently what they did is they noticed the Red Sox were hitting pitches that the Yankees just felt they shouldn't have hit. So they apparently started looking at video. And they noticed it on a video is what apparently the article kind of states. So yeah, that's how they figured it out. They noticed that the Red Sox became really good with runners in scoring position against them. And then, you know, some of the things, you know, a lot of times, you know, obviously you're at the plate, you're guessing. What they realized is the Yankees were guessing, or the Red Sox were guessing right quite a bit, you know, when you're in the batter's box, and that kind of ended up giving it away. So yeah, they went back and started doing some research, and apparently they even researched the series before and realized they were doing it against the Blue Jays as well. So yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting when I heard that come out. I don't, you know, yeah, you know, my guess is there's a fine involved, but that's about it, right?
Yeah, I mean, you really can't do a whole lot about it. Except maybe, you know, Commissioner Rob can use his giant gavel and make that a rule next year.
So. Yeah, you know, again, I don't know what you can do about it. You know, it's just kind of like, yeah, you know, whatever. So, but, you know, now I know today, Dan, and I know neither one of them went with him in FanDuel, but Justin Verlander is making his debut in a new uniform. He's pitching for the Houston Astros tonight. They're in Seattle, so the Astros are back on the road after a short homestand. You know, what do you think? You know, his last seven starts, he's been really good. I think his ERA is 2.06 over his last seven starts. You know, is he gonna, you know, is he gonna be the guy to lead the charge for the Astros here?
I think he can. I mean, to defend my pick, you know, I was looking for a guy who I thought could get a win and strike out a bunch of guys that. Where I could still get some valuable hitters. You know how difficult it becomes trying to get a pitcher anywhere above 7,800 to,
oh yeah,
like a 12,000. Or I think Chris Dale was up there tonight for 11 something. So that's been my strategy of late, and I've done decent. It's been hit or miss, but I think he can definitely help improve the team and give them that run, because I mean, you know, Dallas Keuchel hasn't been the true ace that you'd want him to be. You got guys like Colin McHugh who, you know, one day could go out there and throw you seven innings and get a bunch of strikeouts, but then, you know, 5 days later for the next two starts, he's only going out for, you know, five innings. You know, I can't think of the rest of the guys on the team off the top of my head, but I know their pitching hasn't been, you know, super shut down solid. Like maybe the Cubs pitching was last year.
Yeah. So yeah, it will be interesting, you know, to see how he, you know, how he fares. You know, the Mariners are a really good hitting team. So, you know, he doesn't have the easiest of matchups, but, you know, I know it's, I think it's Ariel Miranda for the Mariners tonight. So, you know, they, you know, the Astros should have a little bit of an advantage coming into the game. And, yeah, you know, it's, you know, just kind of interesting to see how it goes. But I know the other thing I wanted to ask you that I heard come up today, and I just kind of chuckled when they, you know, they bring these kind of stuff, things up. But now apparently we're getting off the Dodger bandwagon because they've hit a rough patch. And now everybody, I heard today, Dan, I think I heard three or four guys say it on the MLB Network. They peaked too early. Are you buying? Yeah, are you buying any of this?
Well, isn't this around the time the Cubs or something last year?
So
late August.
No, I think the Cubs slumped close. I think the Cubs slumped closer to the All-Star break. I think it was mid July, late July when they slumped. But you know, and that's kind of the humorous thing is, you know, all teams go through this. I mean, you know, I guess it was just the fact that the Dodgers played so well that, you know, nobody ever thought they were going to lose. But, you know, the Astros just went through this. You know, they've had a horrible stretch of baseball to the point where, you know, Cleveland has almost caught them for the best record in the American League. You know, and then all of a sudden it's kind of like, oh, well, you know, the Dodgers are, you know, they're horrible now. You know, what's going on with the Dodgers? They, you know, it's like, give me a break. It's, you know, they just got Kershaw back. You know, granted, Darvish has been a little disappointing. But, you know, they just got Alex Wood back off the DL. I mean, you know, it's going to take a bit of time to kind of get these guys, you know, in a groove. And I mean, they've got such a lead that, you know, if it takes 2 weeks or even 3 weeks to do it, it's not that big a deal, is it? As long as they're ready for come playoff time.
Yeah. And you don't always want to go into the playoffs being the best team.
I think a lot of it, you know, like I said, it was same related. You know, the Dodgers were so good that even though, here you go, Dan, they're 1-9 in their last 10, they've lost 4 in a row. The Diamondbacks have won 11 straight, and Arizona is still 12.5 games behind Los Angeles in the National League West. That's how good the Dodgers were before they hit this bad patch. So, yeah, it's just like there's, you know, there's so many other things going on that maybe you should worry about. But I don't think the Dodgers are one of them. You know, I know, like I said, the Astros hit a bad patch there. You know, they're not going to lose the division. You know, they're another team. They're actually 13.5 up. And now they've kind of righted the ship. They're on a 5-game winning streak. It wouldn't surprise me if the Dodgers turned around and strung together 5 or 6 wins now. Would it surprise you?
No, especially if they've got their 5-man rotation back up and running.
Yeah, so it's just weird, you know, kind of listening to them, you know, when they talk about stuff like that, and it's like, really, I don't think it's, you know, maybe if it was, you know, 10 days before the playoffs and they continued to lose 10 games in a row going into the postseason, then I would probably have a little bit of concern on what the heck is going on. But, you know, at the start of September, yeah, I'm not worried about it. They have, what, 30 games left, 20, 30 games left? So,
yeah, roughly.
You know, there's plenty of time to get the, you know, get the ship righted. So, you know, it's not like they're, you know, it's not like we're on game 152 and we're going to drop our last 10. So, you know, yeah, just kind of funky for me. So, you know, and then the other thing I heard, just, I'm not even going to call it interesting, because I actually thought it was kind of a schmuck thing, but, you know, obviously, you know, we hear and we talk a lot about sabermetrics here, and, you know, everybody knows how, you know, if you've ever listened to the podcast, you know that I hate these. But, you know, with the good, there's the bad, Dan, and sabermetrics, they actually went through it, and instead of looking for the best player in baseball, they looked for the worst player in baseball. Sabermetrically, did you see this, Dan? Do you know who the worst player in baseball is?
Mike Trout?
No, he would be the best. He would be on top of it. Now, I don't know the qualifications. I assume you had to have a certain amount of at-bats and everything to go with it. Oddly, you were close, Dan, because it's one of Mike Trout's teammates. According to sabermetrics, Albert Pujols is the worst player in baseball. Now, he's hitting .244 with 21 homers and 91 RBIs. All right. Now, you know, he does have some foot issues. You know, he's not kind of, you know, the runner that he used to be. Not that he was ever a 40-40 guy or anything, but, you know, the injuries are, you know, starting to get to him. I mean, you can kind of see it in his career. You know, it's a, we'll call it, again, for lack of a better term, I'm going to call this an interesting scenario, Dan, because here you go. We've got, say, you know, you're facing the Angels and, you know, you got the bases loaded and there's two outs. Do you want to face a veteran like Pujols, or, you know, would you rather see somebody else in their lineup, be it, you know, even if it's a Justin Upton or a Andrelton Simmons, you know, are you buying Pujols as the worst guy?
No, I mean, you know, the White Sox had that guy that was worse than that for years, and, you know, it's not, he doesn't have the numbers that he used to have, but 24 home runs and 91 RBIs through this part of the game, I still think it's pretty solid. And no, I wouldn't.
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously, like, yeah, I was just kind of baffled by it, because, you know, out of all the players out there, there have got to be better options or better choices. I mean, I know, you know, we genuinely don't talk about the bad side. I mean, you know, we'll mention bad things, obviously, but we're more, you know, happy-go-lucky kind of guys. But, you know, I just, you know, again, I know he's not the Albert Pujols that played in, you know, in St. Louis all those years. You know, he's not going to be that guy again, but I don't think he's the worst player in baseball.
No, I mean, I know you would say that Tommy La Stella is, but that's a whole other topic.
Well, he doesn't count. He's not a full-time player. You know, I was kind of looking at full-time guys when, you know, we kind of talked about this, but, you know, I mean, you go, you know, you're, we're going through this, and I, you know, and I was kind of thinking about it. Well, here's a couple regular guys, Dan. Chris Davis of the A's is having a terrible year with the bat. He's hitting .234 and he struck out 180 times. Now, of course, in this new wave of baseball, he does have 37 home runs and 95 RBIs. Mr. Fantasy's guy, Trevor Story, stinks this year. 225, 164, 164 strikeouts, 18 homers and 63 RBIs. You can't tell me those stats aren't worse than Pujols's.
Yeah, that's worse.
So, You know,
yeah,
you know, I got a couple more here.
So costly.
Yeah. The other Chris Davis, the Orioles Chris Davis, 224 with 161 strikeouts, 23 home runs, but only 55 RBIs. And then one more, Dan, who I guess we could call the new Adam Dunn, Joey Gallo, 37 homers and 72 RBIs, struck out 160 times, and he's hitting 212. So, and just, you know, just so you know, Dan, Aaron Judge leads baseball in strikeouts with 181.
Wow. But what is his run differential with guys on first and second
right
after the first inning, times two, divided by, you know, 1942 or the start of the, or the end of the dead ball era? How does that factor in?
You know, I will be fair. Judge has also walked 103 times, so I will give him credit for that. You know, if he could somehow cut down on his strikeouts, he would be, you know, even more valuable than what he seems to be now. You know, because he is hitting 277. He's got the 38 bombs and the 85 RBIs. You know, I know he's really struggled since the All-Star break, but, you know, like I said, at least he's taken his walks. He's one of two guys right now with 100-plus walks. The other one is Joey Votto, who has 115 walks and only struck out 71 times. So, but yeah, that was just, you know, one of those things
when you've got, you know, guys like Reggie Jackson hanging out during spring training, and I'm sure still heavily involved with the team, that you've got a kid who's striking out almost 200 times a year. Never mind. I guess that shouldn't surprise me because he used to do that too.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to remember, Reggie had all the strikeout records before guys like Adam Dunn came along. So,
yeah.
You know, Reggie did strike out. You know, he was still a great player. I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
Right, you know, Hall of Famer, you know, one of those guys. You know, I don't know if Aaron Judge will end up being that guy, but, you know, he's having a, you know, really good year. He'll probably be AL Rookie of the Year. You figure it's him or Ben and Teddy, depending on who gets more votes, the New York or Baltimore. You know, we'll see how that all kind of ends up shaking out. But, yeah, I just thought it was kind of interesting that, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, Albert Pujols is the worst player in baseball, according to Sabermetrics. I was like, oh, okay, well, that should tell you that something's wrong with your metrics. So... But I guess not. Only so. All right. Well, it gives me the time for Dan and I to take off. So we are out of here. Don't worry, though. We're coming back tomorrow at 5:30 live to do it again. But you know what to do while we're gone. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out what's going on over there. Hit that link there to the Facebook page. Give that a like. Don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at SportsTimeRadio. As always, Dan and I appreciate you for jumping on and listening to us live. Don't forget, you can find the podcast anytime you want now at TuneIn.com.